Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Sweep Town, and welcome to Nat Sweepley, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com and Swiffer Sweepers. This is Patrick Reddington for Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Sweet Nichols on the line. After the Nationals' 6-1 win over the Cardinals, they take three straight in St. Louis. I believe that's called a sweep. Dave, we'll start with Max Scherzer on the mound, coming off a six-inning, 116-pitch outing in which he gave up 7 hits, 4 walks, 3 earned runs, looking to bounce back in his home city. Got through the first, which has been a problem for him. A little bit of a swagger back on the mound there. 7 Ks and 5 scoreless on 75 pitches. More importantly, no walks. 6 innings on 94, 7 scoreless on 105, 9 Ks total, no walks on the day. Is it safe to say Max Scherzer is back?
Max is back, baby.
He definitely had that swagger back to him, and a really solid outing for Max Scherzer on the mound. Looked like the Max of old and what we come to expect over the first year plus in Nationals uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was noticeable how he was extending to finish his pitches today. Had everything going, induced some really silly looking swings on the breaking ball. His fastball command was on just on par right there. No walks, 4 hits in 7 innings, the 9 Ks. Just a masterful performance. It looked like between him and Martinez that this was going to have the looks of a 1-0 game at some point. But, you know, just a tremendous performance. I think it allays a lot of fears that some had around Nats Town and quite honestly that I had that his arm angle was dropping and that he was giving up a lot of walks and, you know, just really kind of a not particularly good start to the season from him, but just a vintage performance by Scherzer today.
And he talked after the last couple starts about how it was really just a matter of following through, like he said, finishing his pitches and how big a difference it makes, just a matter of inches to the left or right when you're hitting the corners or leaving them out over the plate. But how does a pitcher like this kind of lose that and, you know, get it back? He was able to identify what was going wrong with him. He talked about it openly. He's able to go out there and do it this time. But how do you lose that sort of thing and get it back so quickly?
Well, you know, I did a little bit of pitching back in the day, and it really is a unnatural physical activity. And your shoulder is designed to swing underhand, not overhand. So there are a lot of things that can go wrong in the process, and you know, pitchers know their bodies better than anyone else. And when Max kept saying, you know, I know what's wrong, I know what's wrong, I can fix it, you know, he had the sounds of a guy that knew what he was talking about. A lot of pitchers will say that but have no idea what they're talking about. And frankly, most pitching coaches don't really know how to fix it either. I think Mike Maddux is a different sort. He's more of a mechanical guy as opposed to a rah-rah pitching coach. And I think they probably just looked at film. You know, Max probably in his bullpen session worked on a couple of things. And he's right. You know, if you're not fully extending on your release point, you're guiding the ball. You're not pitching it. And that's the difference between, you know, putting the ball where you want, you know, throwing strikes and putting the ball where you want as opposed to throwing the strike and not putting it where you want, which is what was happening to him earlier. Today, he was hitting all the spots. Lobatone barely had to move the glove on most occasions. And like I said, the breaking ball was just inducing silly swings and misses. So it really looks like, you know, in his last bullpen session, you know, Scherzer really was paying attention to what he was doing, figured it out, and was able to get back on track today.
His opponent on the mound tonight, Carlos Martinez, 24-year-old right-hander, 4-0 going into the start and 4 starts this season, 1.93 ERA, 3.52 FIP, 2.57 walks per nine, 6.43 K per nine, a 162, 231, 253 line again, 28 innings. He looked every bit that good on the mound today, 95 to 97 with a fastball, a mid-80s curve, a two-seamer that's also mid-90s, 94 to 98, a mid-80s changeup that gets up to 91. 6 Ks, 1 hit allowed, and 5 scoreless, but the Nats get to him in the sixth. Jose Lobatone singles to start the frame. Sack bunt by Scherzer moves him over. RBI single by Matt Dandecker, who got the start in center, makes it 1-0. Jason Worth, a single, a two-run home run by Clint Robinson. The next inning, Danny Espinosa follows on the next pitch with a solo blast. All of a sudden, it's 4-0, and he was really rolling there, kind of dominating the Nationals, but they got to him in that frame and really put up 4 runs in a hurry there.
Yeah, you know, I'm completely jealous of the Cardinals. It seems like every other year they bring up a guy like Carlos Martinez, who just I really like him as a pitcher. You know, you mentioned his arsenal. He's very competitive. He seems like he's got a really good idea about how he wants to go about things on the mound. His demeanor is terrific. Just a great start up until he kind of ran into the wall today. And that's kind of typical of younger pitchers where, you know, you don't know when and where they're going to run out of gas. And obviously he ran out of, when he did, he ran out of gas very quickly today. But, you know, Robinson and Espinosa both good swings on the ball. You know, you got to credit those guys as much as anything for doing what they did on the pitches. But just really like Carlos Martinez, his whole package. And like I said, you know, it seems like the Cardinals would find a guy like this every other season. And just another reason to be really happy about the Nats getting out of St. Louis with a sweep. Just a tremendous way to start off the 10-game road trip.
While we're on the topic of the Cards, young players and seemingly their ability to seemingly bring them up whenever they need them to fill spots, Almeidas Diaz, 0-for-3 today with a K, but still hitting .405 on the year. It's early. That's obviously going to drop some, but this is my first extended look at him. I think I saw him a few times in spring training on the games that were televised, but really impressive start for him and another one that the Cardinals were able to bring up and just plug in there and seems to be really talented young kid and someone who's going to stick around for a while, it looks like.
Yeah, it's really kind of silly. I mean, you look at his stats and their video game stats through this far in the season, the .423 average, you know, .453 on base percentage through 71 at bats. And, you know, you wonder how and why this kid is doing it when he's never really done it at any other, you know, level of place thus far in his career. But, yeah, he's off to a great start. The Nats were able to cool him down a little bit today and, you know, like I said, get out of town with a sweep. You know, I'm just – every time you play the Cardinals, I think Nats fans automatically tense up and, you know, and get nervous. And, yeah, and rightly so. I mean, the Nats' history with them – both on the road and at Nats Park hasn't been that great in the last couple of years. And it's better for everybody to get in, get out, and then put them in the rearview mirror and not worry, have to worry about them for a while, I think.
5-0 when Daniel Murphy doubles drive-in Anthony Rendon, who doubled himself. A little bit of power from Rendon. He almost put that one out, so that's nice to see. He bounced it off the base of the wall. Murphy came into this game, though, hit safely in 19 of 22 games. That's up to 20 and 23, 11 multi-hit efforts, even though he just had one hit today. Reached base in 39 of 90 plate appearances coming into the game today, which I just noticed I misspelled on the post-game report. But that RBI double gave him hits in 20 of 23, as I said. Just struggled early today, but ends up coming up with that big hit, puts the Nats ahead 5-0 at that point. Chris Heisey with a pinch hit homer after that, and you're just seeing the Nats kind of rolling. Offense is starting to pick up too to go along with pitching, which has just been dominant, especially in St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, after the Philly series when they scored 3 runs in 3 games all in the first of the 3-game series and got swept, I think there was a general panic across Natstown that this team was never going to hit again. And obviously the column that I wrote, you know, on Friday kind of was geared towards feeding into that paranoia. But, you know, this team's got some good hitters on it. I mean, Daniel Murphy obviously has a track record, a long track record with making contact. He's been making great contact all season so far. He's added in more of a discerning eye than he's ever had in his previous career to go along with that. And maybe a little bit of that is pitching around or whatnot, but he hasn't given in, which is to his credit. And came through again today. You mentioned Anthony Rendon is making more solid contact here in the last couple of days. Sent the ball to the wall today, which like you said, is a good thing. You know, his extra base percentage coming into this series was at just 4.4%, which is, you know, way below major league average, which is in the mid sevens or whatever. So good to see him getting a little bit more pop on the ball. I think I think as we go along, we're going to see him become a little bit more selective. He's been swinging at more outside pitches than ever in his career, still making contact. He's not striking out anymore, but making less contact because he's swinging at outside pitches. I think we'll see him refine his approach, start to look for his pitch within the strike zone and be able to drive it a little bit more because he's just too good of a hitter not to.
Speaking of not making contact, Bryce Harper, 0-for-4, 4 Ks today. I think Mark Zuckerman tweeted that's the first time he's gone 0-for-4, 4 Ks since his rookie season, which is kind of hard to believe. 0-for-14 stretch for Harper. You saw him chirping at the umpire a little bit during this one. I think he was right about the call he was chirping about. Actually, it was a backdoor slider from Martinez that was called strike 3 on him early in the game. But I'm not worried about Bryce Harper at all. I think he's going to pick it up at some point and start hitting again like he was to start the season. But a rough stretch for Harper here.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, hitless in the series. The called strike on the first at bat was borderline. The second one, the pitch went around the strike zone, but it hit the catcher's mitt, so the umpire gave it to him. Harper obviously frustrated, changed his approach in the last two at bats so as to avoid being called out, but the results were the same. Again, like you said, there's no reason to worry about Bryce Harper. It was a lousy series. He'll get back at it, pretty quickly, but yeah, definitely a rough day today and rough series for him.
Even with the 3 wins and the sweep, I don't know if we mentioned that it was a sweep, 6-20 in Busch Stadium, 3 since it opened. The last sweep for the franchise in St. Louis was back in 1986. That's a 30-year span before they swept series over the Cardinals. Really just a tough team to play out there, a tough team for the Nationals the last couple of years, but a great way to start the road trip for the Nationals here, the 3-game sweep of a team that's scuffling a little bit in the Cardinals right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last time a Washington team to sweep in St. Louis was like 1951 or whatever. So a really good way to start the road series. And, I mentioned it a little bit ago, I think people were pulling their hair out and gnashing their teeth after the Philly series. Really worried about going out on this road trip. And it's a daunting road trip. I mean, you mentioned the Nats' troubles in St. Louis. They've got to go to Kansas City, the World Series champs, and then they've got to go to Wrigley Field and play the Cubs, who, for my money, are probably the best team in baseball. So, it's a daunting series. It's off to a really good start. I maintained at the beginning of this, and I still think that coming out of this road trip, at 5-5 or 6-4 would really be doing well. I think anything better is gravy. They've got 3 of those 5 or 6 wins already with 7 to play. So you kind of got to like their chances. But still, the Mets are right there. The Phillies swept the Indians this weekend. So it looks like the Nats are going to have their hands full in the division. The Phillies are playing a lot better than anybody thought they were going to. The Marlins are hanging out right there too. So even though it's just the 1st of May and you don't like to say there are must wins this early in the season, every game counts. So you got to salt them away where you can. The Nats took advantage of playing the Braves and the Twins early in the season. You mentioned the Cardinals struggling a little bit. That's when you got to clamp down and then put wins in your back pocket. And the Nats were able to do that this weekend.
With 3 more with the Royals coming and then 4 with the Cubs. You mentioned one of, if not best, what, the best team so far this year. Could be back to gnashing and wailing in no time, but we'll see what the Nationals can do going forward. One big picture question here for you before we wrap up for the day. Wilson Ramos returned to the team today. Pedro Severino optioned back to AAA Syracuse. We've talked before about how this is potentially Wilson Ramos' last season with the organization. He could become a free agent after this year if they don't re-up him and extend his contract with the Nationals. Just got a good look at Severino again. I was really impressed with what I've seen with him defensively over the last couple of years. Really liked what I saw offensively in spring training, though, as we've seen with Michael Taylor and hundreds of players over the years. You can't put too much stock in what people do in spring training when they're getting fed a lot of fastballs, but liked what I saw from him again when he was up this time. Do you think Nationals are going to bring Ramos back? Have they seen enough from him over the last couple of years, been healthy for the last 2 years? Do you think Severino is a catcher of the future? Are we going to be shopping for a catcher this winter? Just overall, what do you think about the backstop situation going forward?
Well, I mean, it's a good question because Lobaton will be a free agent as well. So I don't think Pedro Severino is a full-time player in the major leagues. I think he's a very good defensive player. I don't think he'll hit enough to be a full-time starter. He can probably have a Lobaton-style career as a career backup, a Sunday starter, if you will. I think that, Ramos has gotten off to a really good start, and hopefully this time away, on the bereavement leave, won't derail that. Hopefully he'll come back and be able to pick it right back up. His deal has always been, the pop, but too many ground balls to really put it all together. But so far this season, maybe it's the benefit of the eye surgery that he had. Maybe it's just through the maturation process. He's really been off to a really good start. So I think the Nats are willing to watch him play this year. I think they think that they could sign him if they want to at the end of the season. If not, then they'll have to go outside of the organization for a starting catcher because, like I said, I don't think Severino's that guy. I certainly don't think Lobaton is that guy. He doesn't hit anywhere near enough to play every day. You need somebody in your number one catcher who isn't a liability either at the plate or behind the dish. Ramos fits that bill if he indeed, has turned a corner and is able to provide that offense on a regular basis. We've seen flashes of it. Whether you sign him to a long-term deal or not is really whether he can put it together for long stretches.
I'm going to have to double-check myself on that one because I'm pretty sure Lobaton's under or at least under team control for one more year after this, but I'm not sure now that you say that, so I'll look that up and get back to everyone. tomorrow night, 8:15, 17-7 Nationals against the 12-11 Kansas City Royals. Gio Gonzalez, 1-1, 1.42 ERA against Edison Volquez, 3-1, 3.34 ERA in the series opener. 3 with the Royals starting tomorrow night after they sweep 3 from the Cardinals. Matt Knightley, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com. Dave, we'll talk to you after tomorrow night's game.
Sounds good. And, yeah, I'm wrong. He's arbitration eligible this year, free agent after next year. So I was just reading the wrong line on the stat line.
I wasn't trying to correct you. I just didn't know. So now I feel bad.
No. We need to get it right when we can.
Doghouse says go Nats. Talk to you tomorrow night.
All right.